This is Taking Stock with Pim Fox and Courtney Donahoe on Bloomberg.
All right, let's talk about another company that is in the news today, Chesapeake Energy. And we've got Neil Dingmann, Managing Director, Equity Analyst at SunTrust Robinson, to give us his take on Chesapeake. But before we sort of quiz you, Neil, I know that, Courtney, you've been following some news on Chesapeake that's just come out.
Yeah, we have breaking news on Chesapeake. Their CEO, Aubrey McClendon, agreeing to sell $88 million of his personal oil and gas interest to investment vehicles created by Wachovia 3 weeks after his company used the bank in a similar $600 million deal. So the same Wachovia bankers worked on both August 2008 transactions. And we're continuing to look through this breaking news. A lot of breaking news happening this past week when it comes to Wachovia, which is a stock that has been under pressure.
Right. So, all right. So Chesapeake here, Neil, the stock today up about 2.5%. Can you just give us a little historical synopsis of Aubrey McClendon and Chesapeake? Because he put this company together.
He did. Good afternoon, Pim. Aubrey is obviously well known in the oil and gas business. He's probably, to me, if not one of the most famous, I would call him not necessarily an oil man, but a land man. Aubrey has, throughout his career, has put a lot of land positions together, gone out there and been a first mover. And, again, by doing that, got out in front of various other companies. And, now when you look at this company, besides early on being a gas company, which right now he's the number two largest U.S. natural gas company, he's got six large liquid plays that he's put together where he's either number one or number two position. And so to me, that's really what has put Aubrey on the map. Well, when he started in the business throughout today, it's not necessarily that he drills wells better than anybody else, but early on he's been able to find acreage much before other folks can, and he finds it at a cheaper price.
But there's been a lot of distractions recently. He's even apologizing for that yesterday on the company's conference call. One of the issues, using his personal stakes in the company's wells to obtain loans. What is your reaction to that?
It was unique. I mean, to have Aubrey apologize is just that in itself a bit unique. I can tell you to have small pieces of individual wells is nothing new to the oil and gas business. I think what maybe on top of that, what caught investors by surprise and maybe they frowned upon more than that was, using some of this borrowed money to pay for that. I think, again, is anything like that illegal? No, not necessarily. But obviously that plus the hedge fund that he was apparently involved in years ago and various other things creates a lot of noise that for a stock like this that has already been depressed because of natural gas prices certainly doesn't need at this time.
Neil, at 17 and change, what do you think about the actual stock of Chesapeake? And also, if you happen to be a share owner, what do you do to protect your position?
Both good questions, Pim. I mean, number one, I think there's two camps. Obviously, to me, I'm in the bullish camp, and what the fundamentally basis behind that is just the asset value. And the way I derive my $30 target is by, number one, giving him at this point absolutely no value for his gas plays. That would be the Haynesville or the Barnett, but basically just taking his six big liquid plays, such as the Permian and Eagleford, and looking what those would go for on an acreage value, and then subtracting his debt. And to me, just the asset value of this company, as I said, the gas excluded, still think there's high value in the stock right now. Obviously, the bears out there, their case is that he's not going to have enough cash to pay down this debt and other things, even if he would sell some of these properties down. But
the company even said that, too, that they may run out of money under the weight of the nat gas prices the way that they are if they don't turn around.
Exactly. According to the point, obviously, is being such a large, the number two producer of gas and not having any of it hedged, as the gas prices continue to wane, they'll have to make up that cash flow shortfall somewhere else. So what he said is we'll have to go ahead and sell a couple of pieces or all of these properties, maybe even sooner than we had anticipated before. So right now on the docket, he has him selling all of his 1.5 million acres in the Permian. He has himself selling a partial piece of his horizontal Mississippian and one other piece.
Chesapeake Energy, are you concerned that there's something else on the balance sheet we don't know about?
It's tough. always known these off-balance sheets, and we've hadn't seen any arise, you know, for the last couple of years now, and this is first we've heard for a while, so I always say never. I mean, there was one, I think, story out today that called it the iceberg theory, that there's always something underneath there. You know, however, to me, how this relates financially to the company, I don't think there's a huge case as far as financial risk to the company. Could there be isolated incidents towards Aubrey McClendon himself? That's tough to say.
What they need to get is gas prices coming back. Where do you see them moving from here?
You know, in the very near term, I don't, unfortunately, don't see them moving up very, very quickly. The problem that we have is most of these liquid wells that you're seeing being drilled out here, excuse me, whether in the Eagle Ford or some of these other areas, throw off a tremendous amount of associated gas. So even if you do not drill the pure dry gas wells, you still have a lot of gas coming with it. So bottom line is we don't see gas coming much above $3 for at least the next year.
All right. Well, natural gas is around $2.43 per million BTU. Neil Dingman, how is it possible that companies keep drilling for natural gas when they don't make any money doing so?
You know, Pim, what they're looking at, I mean, and Chesapeake's a great example. He's gone now all the way down to only two rigs still drilling for natural gas of the 120-odd rigs he's running. So most of the rigs you see out there right now, while they're discovering natural gas, really what their focus is are the associated liquids, the NGLs, they call them, the ethane, the propane, all these other liquids that now are associated with these wells. And, for instance, I was looking at a well in the Marcellus, which is on the East Coast, not terribly far from you. Even a well somewhere like that at $2 gas can still yield around 20 to 25%. So have that type of return. And that's really obviously not because of the dry gas with it, but it's because of all the associated liquids.
How soon will they be able to get this controversy behind them?
You know, something like this generally doesn't go away. At this point, I'm sure you're going to have some shareholder lawsuits and what have you. But, according as you pointed out, I mean, all of a sudden, $3 or $4 natural gas and has the stock begin to run tends to solve a lot of problems. So, you know, to me, it, one is going to have to influence the other. If you get the stocks start to report solid earnings, if they can sell some of these assets for solid prices, I think a lot of these things get behind them.
Interesting how profits can make people feel that way. Indeed. I want to thank you very much. Neil Dingman, Managing Director, Equity Analyst, SunTrust, Robertson Humphrey on Chesapeake Energy.
You can listen to Taking Stock weekday afternoons at 3 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012, Bloomberg LP.